Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Today, the Retro Report documentary team takes us back to the calendar of 1978, when residents of Love Canal in Niagara Falls, New York, got some shocking news about the disposal of toxic chemicals in their community.
For several years, chemicals have been seeping into the basements of a number of houses, including this one. The evidence is always there. There have been instances of birth defects and miscarriages among neighborhood families.
Suddenly, residents like Lois Heisner had to face the fact that their lovely little spot in the world, their community, wasn't so much about love, it was potentially poisoning them.
I am really, really afraid. We have decided we're going to get out one way or another. But right now, you know, you just can't jump, and where are we going to go?
35 years later, J.P. Olson, producer for Retro Report, looked back at this story and went back to the community to find out more about what's happened since. J.P., welcome.
Thank you.
So there's been a lot of mythology that's grown up around Love Canal. The memories are vivid, but the history is complicated. What did you find?
Well, the first thing that I didn't realize in looking at Love Canal is that there were actually two evacuations. And I think in the public mind generally, it's one evacuation, the entire town empties out. But in fact, it was over the course of 2 years. There was an initial evacuation that happened relatively quickly, a couple of months when waste started coming out of this canal, this dumping site. And then a second evacuation happened about 2 years later. And in that time, there was an incredible amount of strife between the local community and activists in the community and the state and federal government.
Here's a voice of one of the, I guess we would call him evacuees, Joseph Retton.
I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 3 years ago, and I'm stage four cancer. It's went to my liver. I worked at chemical plants. I was exposed to Agent Orange. I lived in Love Canal. I don't know where my cancer comes from.
Joseph Retton's emotion there is really what the story is all about. There's a level of confusion and suspicion, but no certainty.
Cancer is a very difficult thing to understand. Very few kinds of cancers are recognizable to be have come from a particular source. And so in the case of a Love Canal scenario, you have people who clearly are getting sick. Now, whether those numbers are extraordinarily high remains a question depending on who you talk to. But the fact is, if you get cancer and you live near that canal, you could imagine that your mind would go there.
What chemicals were in the Love Canal?
Well, there's more than 100 chemicals in it, and these are all byproducts from different petrochemical companies and industrial works that were going on at the time. The ones that were the most concerning at the time were dioxin, which clearly has been linked to all kinds of health disorders, and there's other benzene and a number of others are in there. I mean, many, many, many. And one of the issues that's difficult is when these chemicals are combined, it's impossible to even know specifically what you're dealing with.
One of the things that is clear is that Love Canal really inspired the creation of the Superfund approach to cleaning up intensively degraded toxic waste sites. First of all, how did that happen and what's happened since the whole Superfund idea?
Well, Lois Gibbs is a local resident and became an activist and really drove this issue into the public in a really very effective way. And as time went on, I think it was recognized that, you know, you have these residential communities that are near factories, and there are all kinds of, you know, potential environmental insults all around them. And prior to that time, you know, communities would stay and get sick and often be reassured by the company that everything was fine, when in fact it may well not be. And so this was a real sort of change in the mindset that if someone's getting sick near hazardous waste, you need to get people away from it. That seems like an obvious thing at this point, but up until that time, that wasn't something that was necessarily going to be considered. So Superfund, what happened was that essentially the cost of remediation of something like this is so great that there's no way, given the number of sites around the country, which are something like 4,000, that the federal government could shoulder the cost. So the legislation became that you would be able to go after the company that initially had left this waste. And in some cases, and this is where it became complicated, in some cases you're talking about a company that bought a company that bought a company. But it doesn't matter at this point. The point is that if you bought a company that 80 years ago dumped waste, you're responsible for it even up to this day.
And the EPA really made cleanup of Love Canal a real mission. Here's Mike Basile of the EPA.
I think there's a legacy of doubt because people think that someday the landfill will leak. But we have monitoring wells around this site. So red flags would go up if there was a problem. The homes around Love Canal, especially the homes that were rehabilitated, where people are living in them today, is probably one of the safest places on the planet to live.
True. Can we believe that? The stigma of Love Canal goes way, way beyond the half-life of even, plutonium.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing to say this is the safest place on the planet to live, but that's certainly the EPA's position has been that for a long time. If you go to the neighborhood today, as I did, my impression has been that most of the people living there feel like it's fine and they don't have concerns. And in fact, the number of people who live there, it's essentially a fully occupied neighborhood at this point. But there are people who feel like it's harming their health. And it appears to be that number of people who are at least considering whether or not health concerns that they have now may be related to that. But, I think it's one of these issues. It's very difficult for anyone to really answer with any kind of certainty. The federal government has its position, which is that this is a safe area, that it's being carefully monitored. And if it started to leak and chemicals were getting out, there are so many redundancy plans in place that you would know. Now, on the other side of this, you have an activist group that says, listen, people are getting sick and they seem to be unexplained sicknesses. So what are we supposed to make from this? We don't think that it's safe. And I've come to see this story as basically when you were a kid and you would look at that old diagram is it an old woman or is it a young woman? And it depends on your perspective and how you're going to look at it, whether or not you're going to see one or the other. And at times you can see both, but certainly it's a divided issue.
Put you on the spot, though. Would you buy a house there?
If I were moving to Niagara Falls, which I wouldn't be moving there unless there was a reason, like a job, for example, I probably would think twice about living there. That said, people that I met who were living there didn't seem to have a problem living there.
J.P. Olson, producer for Retro Report, looking back 35 years after the designation of Love Canal as a toxic waste site. Thanks so much.
Thank you.